بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and a very warm welcome to another edition of this week's program. Today we're delving into a topic that's not only timely but crucial for our spiritual and material well-being: investing in deen, or investing in our faith. And in a world where the pursuit of wealth and success often takes precedence, it's easy to overlook the most valuable investment of all: our relationship with the Divine, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this fast-paced world, we're bombarded with messages urging us to invest in stocks and real estate, all the latest technology. And while these investments have their place, they pale in comparison to the eternal dividends that are reaped from investing in our deen. So think about it. What good is worldly success if it comes at the expense of our spiritual fulfillment? Joining us on the program today to learn more about investing in deeni education is a student of deen and the owner of Paisley, P-A-I-Z-L-E-Y, Sister Zakia Obarai. Sister Zakia, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah so much. I'm so excited to be talking to you today.
Shukran, alhamdulillah, our honor, and we're really looking forward to going to this topic with you, inshallah. And perhaps we could start by asking you, how would you define the concept of investing in deen from an Islamic perspective?
I think for me, to begin with, or the way I would look at it at large, is that my understanding is that the place that we are currently in is temporary, and that in order for you to invest in something, you should understand its importance, and the year after is everlasting. So what shifted my mindset into thinking this way is when I lost my dad, and I realized I think the everything came into context for me on how temporary it is, because once he closed his eyes, and it was the last moment I had with him, and it was like that was it. And now whatever he had done in his moments that he had, he was quite young, 58, that was whatever he had invested would be what would be everlasting for him. And that troubled me, not because of anything else, but it just I just thought for myself and for everyone, we would never as a believer be happy with what we've done. And so this sparked a journey for me to go further into my deen and to take each day and put a portion of the day just for my hereafter, just for my Creator, and just to kind of reap that benefit every day and think of it logically as, how will I today make sure that I'm doing something for the everlasting life? And that sparked this whole journey into finding more about out about what was my purpose for this earth. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us here? And alhamdulillah, just because of that, it has created so many more opportunities for me where I just think of, how do I do this to create like a bigger bank balance for the year after, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant your dad and all the marhumin maghfirah, nur in their qubur, and a gentle firdaus. Ameen. And you know, we talk about how losing people we love, or losing certain seasons, or grieving through that is for us a means to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I'm wondering, you know, in the context of our discussion today, what would you say are some practical examples of investments in the deen that individuals can make on a daily basis? Because it's something we hear about, but can we maybe look at some solid, concrete examples of that? What would you say those would be?
So I would start at your foundation and your most practical form. So it would change from individual to individual. Some individuals might have had the foundation solid, and they could maybe take a class, whether that would be in history of fiqh or something that would just build slowly and slowly so that they could understand more exactly what Rasulullah ﷺ required us or guided us to do, that it could be a small act, as small as your wudu. Perfecting that creates that that reward that we need for the year after, or investment that we need for the year after. Or it could be something like what I've done. I decided that I run a business, so I'm self-employed. So I decided I'd take half a day and I would do classes for half the day, and that's my investment. And the other half the day, I say, okay, Bismillah, we will work on Paisley, and we'd I sew when I run my business, because Allah has given me that ability. So you'd have to decipher from your practical lifestyle. So it could be just one class once a week that you can manage in the evening. There's lots of options now with online classes, and you know maybe what you are struggling with. You may be struggling with your understanding of Quran, maybe a tafsir class for you to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you in the Quran, the stories which assist us in how we should be dealing with our life, of our Prophet. Mm. So I would say each person would have to introspect and see practically what could work within their lifestyle, and not to set out an intention just to start, and then to be consistent, even if it's in a small amount of time, like an hour a week. And then inshallah, once you start getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will come closer to you, and it will just become something that becomes a ripple effect, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair for sharing that with us. Those are very practical examples that I think we can all relate to. But the time that this program will be after Eid. So it will be at a time, I think, when many people are looking back at this past Ramadan and seeing where they need to fill in the gaps, where the vacuums are in terms of the knowledge or application of deen. And those are really wonderful practical steps you've given us. Jazakumullah khair. You know, we are seeing in the last few years, you mentioned online learning as well. So we are seeing many people seeking Islamic knowledge on a daily basis, the formal settings, both in classrooms as well as online. When we see this, it's something that brings much joy and happiness to the heart. For you, what you mentioned, investing in the Akhirah. And why do you see that this is need to constantly be seeking deen knowledge? I suppose, what is it that motivates you? And yeah, what keeps you on that track to continue seeking for this knowledge?
So what's interesting is that I come from a corporate environment, so I've had like a full round lifestyle. I've seen the other side, the latter of life. And the honest truth is that as we go through life, we could literally look through anything that we do, and we won't actually find any happiness. That's the truth. And your true contentment and your way of living can only come from you seeking your knowledge from your deen. Because if we look at it, the Creator has created, then He's given us the book that talks to us. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words, so it's perfect. So it heals our heart just to be reading the words, even if we sometimes don't understand what we're reading. Just to, if you're having a bad day, for example, and you have a sit down and you just read half an hour of Quran, I promise you will never feel the same once you get up. So just a practical, for you just to heal your heart, for example, reading Quran would help. So imagine now understanding what your Quran means. It heals you. It literally heals you. And then if we go further and we start understanding what Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, which is now the way the Creator has told us in practical how to live our lives through Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that will continue to it will heal you, and it will show you exactly what you should and shouldn't be doing. And sometimes you will struggle to maybe do what is being said, but once we allow that to take over us, and we give in to our or we don't give in to our nafs, we'll see that our life starts changing. So for me personally, the more I studied and the more I get questioned and I get told that I'm wrong, I feel that my soul becomes better. And that actually makes my life easier because I'm doing what I was supposed to be doing in the first place. Now, whereas when we're living in the world without our Dini knowledge and we're living with like Western ideologies, it actually works against our soul. Because it's everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not asked us to do. Well, not everything, but there's a lot of it that's working against. So we're like clashing with what the Creator has asked us to do. So for me, it's imperative just for your life to be balanced, for you to seek that deen knowledge. And yes, we will struggle because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that He's created us sinners. But it creates such a calmness in every hard thing that you go through, in every happiness that you go through. You know exactly what you should be doing in that moment. That's what deen does for you. It shows you how to deal with every single thing, alhamdulillah. And I've never found that in any logical thought or in any sort of studying. I've never found that kind of contentment. So I would say this gives you such a good way or understanding of how your life should be lived, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for that. Let's talk a bit more about investing in our deen, and let's take it up further from where you were at and the point of the growth and being corrected and changing and working to get closer to Allah through this. How would you say that investing in deen contributes to our personal growth and our well-being? So we're looking first and foremost at fulfilling our religious obligations and understanding our religious obligations. But how have you found that by you investing in deen, by you putting aside those hours to invest in your akhirah, how has that impacted on your personal growth and your well-being?
I mean, I'm a completely different person after working with Quran and working with books of hadith. It will change you. And that's something that I think you can only experience once you get into it. My experience of it is it healed things in me that nothing could heal. Because we all know the hardships that we go through in life. And for example, we could speak to a friend and we could get advice. But once you get the word of the divine word of God, like on what to do with everything, it does something within you that I can't explain in words. So for me, in order for you to know the truth, and your soul will understand once you're studying that this is the truth, and you'll go into I would say a different version of yourself. Once you start learning the truth, what Rasulullah has required us to do, asked us to do, or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects of us in this time and in this life. And that investment in it, you actually, for example, if we take one of the hadith discussing charity, and now you start implementing that hadith in your life, you actually feel that connection, and that will assist you in continuing further and further in your growth with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that changes your lifestyle and your way of thinking and your happiness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places so much barakah in everything that you do once you start accepting and just saying, okay, this is what I'm going to be doing for Allah and for His pleasure. And as I go further and further into my studies, and I noticed this with my sisters in the classroom as well, you don't think and act the same because you're working with the truth, alhamdulillah.
Absolutely, working with the truth. The truth is the light itself. Many madrasas have become centers now for young adults, and they do require funding for the teaching, the services of the ulama from underprivileged areas. How would you say, as a community, we could help out in such situations? They are, in today's time, with the economic situation, many madrasas that are struggling to stay afloat. What advice would you have for us on that?
Okay, so the madrasa, for example, I'm part of, they what we do is this: we take girls from underprivileged areas, and we've got 42 girls at the moment, and they are in the program to do the full ANIMA course. And I can tell you from personal experience of trying to assist, I sit in their classes, but I can tell you from assisting the madrasa from day to day, the madrasa is also a hostel. It is an absolute struggle for us to get funding because it's a non-profit. And I look at the girls and I see what is being taught and the impact that they will have once they go back into their communities and spread the deen, because the idea is for them to go back into the underprivileged areas and continue the discussing of deen in their vernac, you know. So we teach, and we also teach a subject that discusses comparative religion. So we teach them everything, that we give them all the skills, inshallah, to go back. And when I put it out there, alhamdulillah, sometimes we do get beautiful responses and funding, but the overall need is not being met in so many madrasas. I am assisting a few madrasas, and it just seems to be something that people, it's either that they're not aware of how difficult it really is for the madrasas to stay afloat and to do this work, or maybe it's just, again, not that understanding of why they need to be assisting with this. But the hadith that discusses you know, for us, if we assist to this, or if we guide to this, we'll get the same reward as the person that's doing it. So to be assisting someone that is studying in the path of Allah, everything that that person does, you will get the same reward for it, inshallah. So I would encourage anyone that can, even if it's a small portion, to assist our future alims and alimas, because they are what is needed in our communities. They will be there to assist our future children, to guide them into the word of Allah, inshallah. And it mustn't be overlooked as something as, okay, the next will just help. It's your opportunity to gain reward. We should actually be thanking them for giving us an opportunity for reward. That's how I look at it. And that's how I try and promote it, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Shukran for highlighting that for us. Why would you say more Muslim businesses should look into funding Islamic institutes, especially institutes that encourage and that nurture, create that space for people to become scholars? Tell us more about that. You're someone who does come up from the corporate background and the environment. You've had that experience. What would your words of advice be to Muslim businesses and the need for them to fund our Islamic institutes?
I think that can be looked at from two perspectives. The first would be, obviously, let's say we're looking at from the junior perspective. I mean, the kids that we work with, and even the young adults that we work with, they come from really underprivileged circumstances. So they, even if it's just from a point of view of them working with their zakat, because that also, all the girls or most of the madrasas are, our madrasas are zakatable, and most of the madrasas around that I've been working with are zakatable. So they could look at it from that point of view, just to assist with that, if anything. But even just to, if it's not that and it's sadaqah and it's charity, they would be empowering underprivileged adults, young adults and kids, and changing their lives. And in terms of the socioeconomic understanding, that would be something that actually pays forward into our communities. And now we're doing it within our Muslim communities. And it's unfortunate that we don't understand what the value of an alim and an alima in our communities. But really, if we were going to invest in anyone, that would be where you should be investing in, because a person that has an understanding of Quran and Hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the best amongst us is the one that learns Quran and teaches it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, then I don't understand, there shouldn't be any miscommunication in that. Subhanallah, they have honor. So if you were going to, from an akhirah point of view as well, I can't imagine your rewards for assisting a child or a young adult in becoming an alim on alim. I mean, recently I had an alim that approached me to assist with funding. He's married and he wants to study, but the problem was funding. SubhanAllah, so we're going to not allow someone to go and study the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of funds. Something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is in charge of. So we put a post out and like three ladies came forward to fund him so that he can now study. And subhanAllah, I can't imagine their rewards. I can't imagine their Jannah. So it just takes us, you know, digging a little bit deeper within us and realizing in doing so, Allah will give us tenfold in barakah, inshallah.
Inshallah, that's a beautiful example, a practical example that we can say, okay, this is something happening in our midst, in our communities now and today, and what can we do to do that and to build our own akhirah, inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the recent months, so much of talk about Muslim heroes, and one of them most notably is Salahuddin Ayyubi for the liberation of Al-Quds. Salahuddin Ayyubi himself had said that Islamic knowledge is vital and the establishment of the madrasa is the utmost importance. How can we now within our own homes start investing spiritually in becoming better Muslims, would you say?
I think as in the home, the most important factor needs to be your connection with Allah. And that a lot of the time means different things for different people. Everybody has their own special relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if it's not highlighted continuously daily in your day-to-day practice, it becomes problematic because then everything else takes precedence and it's your life will never be balanced and it will never work. So I agree in that statement that, you know, you need to establish your relationship with Allah, and the only way to do that is to work within Quran and to work within Hadith. And if we can, you know, really set goals, because I believe that, you know, it can't just be all airy-fairy in how we're going to do that. We have to set goals for each of us. So whether it's the mom or the dad or the children, or your spouse or however you're going to communicate, there must be goals being set on how you're going to improve your connection with Allah, and through that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open it further and further in you coming closer to Him. But writing down and working within yourself and being true to yourself and within your family, I think as a woman you could also find ways practically that could work within your lives, and inshallah, one step at a time, consistent step at a time, and from there it will grow, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair for sharing with us more on this topic of investing in our deen education, but also giving us practical examples and motivation and your own inspiring example of doing that. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. I'm wondering if you can talk a bit more about your line of work. So we know that part of your day is spent investing in your akhirah, specifically through your deeni education and pursuing that. But you've also had some amazing milestones, and this year in particular for your company Paisley has been an important one. It was a dream that you started when you were 17 years old, and you're now empowering underprivileged young females with a tailored Paisley design course, and that was earlier this year. Can you tell us more about this project that's in collaboration with Al-Qaf, please?
Sure. So I actually studied on a bursary. My story on that is on my page. It's a miracle, and I basically was funded through a bursary that came through the 2 days before I needed to study. Alhamdulillah. So that everybody should know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just needs to say kun, and it is. And that's what happened with me. And from there, I pledged in my heart that because someone helped me, I would empower underprivileged girls. And I was 17 when I said that, and alhamdulillah, in the past year I was able to start the whole project to empower these lovely young ladies, because what I realized was Although we are offering the Alima course, when they get back into their communities, they need to also have a skill set to be able to, create funding for themselves and be able to live their lives. And after working with the girls, we have been doing different courses for them, like cupping. We've got a computer class running for the girls, etc. I realized that I could create more skills developed with some of the girls for this, and I could give back. And so I approached OCAF, and they assisted us with the machinery. I'm still busy with the project. We're not yet done completely to begin the project. So we are working to get more funding to complete the classroom in order for me to start. But what it's going to do is I just realized that if I give my skill set, it will just create a ripple effect in how we can empower these young girls. And yes, they will have an understanding of their deen, understanding of their Quran, but in a practical life setting, they will be able to earn an income. And I think there's nothing more special that I could have done for them. And it's also to show them that, yes, this is balance. It doesn't need to be where, you know, you're not earning an income. Or you only fixated on one part or one way of doing things. There's different ways for us to be living on earth where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. And I am so excited that I've been given this opportunity to show them practically that this can be achieved. So alhamdulillah, that was something I wanted, like I said, since I was 17, and Allah has made it possible this year. So I'm eternally grateful for that. And it's also for the girls that I'm going to be working with. It's for them to take it forward and to understand that, you know, they can have a balanced life within Islam and be happy and enjoy what they are doing, because that is also permissible for us. So I think that's one of the most fulfilling things that I've been able to do for the girls, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And what advice would you have? Because your story on your social media is fascinating and inspiring. A story of how amidst all the odds, you persevered and you're living the dream, and you're now giving back as per what you had promised when you set out to study for this dream. What advice would you have to people? This time of the year, the time the program will air will be around end of April. People will be looking towards, well, mid-year for those that are in grade 11 and 12. Talk is all about career choices, studying, bursary, scholarship, the exorbitant fees for studying further, and all of that. And many parents have that weighing heavily on them. What advice would you have to young girls who, like you, have a dream, and how can they pursue those dreams? What were those magical, key, special ingredients that helped you achieve yours?
I think at the time, I was very naive, but at the time, I've always had just a very driven mindset. And I cannot be swayed from that mindset, ever. If I am adamant on something, that would just be it. And I was so spoken to very negatively about what I wanted to study. I was looked down upon because it wasn't something very academically inclined. It's more creative. It's a degree in art. And for me, I just thought that, you know, a person cannot tell you what you will and won't do with your time and your mind. Only you can understand. And obviously, your creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows what is best for you. But you, with your mindset, you need to understand who you are and what you are going to be doing. And not even the closest person can tell you or define who you are. So you need to dig deep within yourself and know what it is that makes you happy, because you have to live within yourself forever until you be returned to your creator. And in doing that and being honest and true to yourself, whatever you choose to do, that's what you'd be doing with your time. So it's important that you choose, and it might change. You might eventually and it's okay if it changes, but in the moment that's present, figure out what it is that you'd like to do and make sure that it's it's completely okay within your deen, because if it's not, I promise you everything will just continuously fall apart. And now my advice would be a little different to how it would have been a few years ago. I would say make sure that whatever you're doing is going to impact daily on your year after, because we only get however many years is written down for us, and each day that we go through is just a day for us, an opportunity for us for gaining that reward for our eternal life and our Jannah. And whatever we choose to do, that's it. So I would definitely advise that no matter what is chosen, whether they're doing an academic path, whether they're going to go into an Islamic path in their career choices, you need to make sure that you're still investing a portion of your day, not your week, but every day you need to make sure that a portion is spent in your deen, inshallah.
Inshallah. I love and appreciate how you bring in the topic of consistency all throughout our chat today, that it needs to be something that's consistent. And that's what investment is. It's not something that's once off for the akhirah, but it's something that's daily to prepare for your forever after home, inshallah. So what is in the works for you in terms of the rest of this year? Are you studying a specific subject? How is your Dini education, your journey for this year? And what can we expect to see from Paisley over the rest of this year?
Inshallah. So the subjects that have been highlighted at the madrasa at the moment, that I'm just completing a few subjects, would be obviously my Quran tarjuma, tafsir in certain surahs, certain sections of Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Rihad al-Salihin, Bulugh al-Maram, Baykunia, which is Science of Hadith. I have done it. I'm just brushing up on that, inshallah. On Ulum al-Quran, which is Science of Quran. So, for example, when certain verses were, or all the verses were revealed, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, what was happening at the time, etc. And there's, I think, one or two more subjects. So it's a majority of the big hadith books, and then your tafsir, so full understanding of word for word of Quran, inshallah. And I also look at the other work that I do as part of the deen. So I work with the charity works, with the both, there's a madrasa I work with, CFIS, and then I work with a masjid, Masjid Tawfiq, where we're also raising funds for them and trying to just build both these places up with whatever their financial needs are, inshallah. I request to ask for both the places, inshallah. And for Paisley is something that, alhamdulillah, I get to express my creative side that Allah has given me, which I'm very grateful for, alhamdulillah. A lot of people enjoy telling me that I have talent. I always say that. I don't understand how I'm able to create these things, so I am sure that this is just a ni'mah from Allah, it's a blessing from Allah, and I'm able to be creative with it. So inshallah, I do have a few ranges coming up for the kiddies, and also on my Paisley Modesty page, I have some Islamic wear coming up, inshallah. I enjoy doing ready-to-wear, easy-to-wear garments for ladies that are in hijab, so I do have some of those coming up, inshallah. And yeah, alhamdulillah, I take it you know, month to month as it comes, because the trends keep changing, and so we just have to keep it contemporary all the time. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And where can people access, where can they purchase your products? Tell us more.
You can find me on Instagram, Paisley, Paisley by Zakia. My website is on the page as well, www.paisley.co.za. You can contact me on WhatsApp as well. A lot of the ladies prefer chatting to me to create their, you know, customized look, because most of my garments are fully customizable. So you know, you can chat to me, you can call me. If most people for the events look for something, you know, special, designer, one of a kind. So a lot of it is very, very one-on-one detailed, you know. So I'm happy to chat to you about your creations, inshallah.
Wonderful, alhamdulillah. And probably one last question, and that is what many women will be wondering as someone who is actively a student of the Deen, but also contributing and assisting in fundraising and women empowerment through your line of work and owning your own company. What would you say are some of the top tips you would share with other women when it comes to managing time, managing disability? I know that's a tall order, and it's different for everyone because everyone's responsibilities are different, everyone's schedules, and everyone's personality is so different. But I'm wondering, is there anything that's worked for you that you think would be a good, something you'd like to recommend to others that they could perhaps try?
Important, very important question, very important answer. And in this answer, I would like anybody that's listening, priorities. I think that women struggle so much to understand, and it may sound a little harsh, but it's actually not. It's come from a place of love. Why I'm saying this is, I had to, at some point when I decided to go into studying at Madrasa and putting Paisley sort of as second, I'm going to say that, I had to realize that, my hereafter is first. And in order for me to do that, I had to go and delve deep inside myself and say, right, I love this, but I love Allah more. And if we can do that, and we can start prioritizing, what is most important first, I promise you we will find the time. And just like how we're supposed to, we don't read Salah based on everything else that's going on in our day. We establish our Salah. And establishing your Salah means that you set time aside and you make sure that is your priority. And then you fill your day in around the times that you have free after, in between your Salah. But if you do it the other way around and you say, I'll just read Salah in between whenever I have a moment, your Salah is never going to be established. And there's a very big difference between the two. And in your life, if there's no establishment of what is important to you and what is important for your year after, and yes, what is important for your dunya, it'll always be a rat race. And yes, some of my days are a complete rat race because that's just how life works. But I think I've prioritized that dini knowledge is more important than anything. And in doing that, I even change certain things of Paisley on how my processes work, that I won't allow it like this. I'll set a little bit more boundaries in that, in my time management, in my turnaround times, just so that I can prioritize my dini knowledge. Whereas we would generally focus more on maybe the financial income that's coming from the business. I chose to do the opposite, but what happened is, as I've seen, is that Allah has given me so much more barakah for doing this. That's my experience. So I think prioritizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first. So whatever it is that you are going to do, first it's your salah, your wudu and your salah. And then from there, it would be whether it's your Quran reading, and then it would be whether you have a husband, then take time out for him or your kids. Have all of that in place, alhamdulillah. But know that the first point would be of reference would be from Allah and what you're going to do for him, and then write down your goals. So I make lists of everything, and then from the lists, what is urgent, what is important, and then we work within that. And and alhamdulillah, that's just how I do. A lot of people ask me about the time thing because I'm juggling so many things. I just work on prioritization, and alhamdulillah, that is what works for me. Everybody's schedules are different, but you just have to create something that can work for you. We all have like 24 hours. It's literally just how we choose to spend our 24 hours, inshallah.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you mentioning priorities, because I think when many people see women who are active in society, keeping up with their own passions, interests, and creativity, and continuing their studies and seeing this, and often people think, well, that person is able to balance it all, and the operative word all. But you mentioned about the priorities, where there's a part of that whole balance, if we call it a balance, is not necessarily 50-50. And that if we want to be able to be well-rounded, there are some things that will take precedence over others. And that this dunya is not about saying, okay, I can put 20% time exactly for each of these five things of my life. But there will be things, as you mentioned, you prioritize your dini studies. You prioritize giving back to society. And so I think that misconception we often have when we look at it from an angle, you know, without the akhirah lenses, is that everything can work out perfectly if we just divide our time equally. And that's not the case necessarily in the dunya for us, isn't it?
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, if I had to really... you know, I did. I have to be honest with you. I did. I thought that is what it is. And sometimes I would even become harsh with myself and I'd say, you know, iman will do that too when you're having like dips and highs of your iman. It will make you, it will confuse you, and shaitan will always come there to confuse you. But it's not possible for us to go, you know, 50-50. It's not as simple as that. As women, it can never be as simple as that because we have so many other things that's going on in our life. There's the cooking, there's the cleaning, there's the running around, there's the, you know, seeing to everybody's needs. It's not at all possible. And that's why I'm saying, if you take on a specific thing and you prioritize that consistently, you will see that you will feel so at ease that you've accomplished something for your akhirah. And I don't know what that would mean for everyone, but it might sometimes come at an expense of anything, of something else, slightly. Like I said, with me, I had to change my turnaround times, and some people don't work with me because of that, because they maybe need something more urgently, and I have to say no to that. And I say no to that confidently because I've made a decision. And that sort of thing, you just need to see what is it that you want, what is the outcome you want for yourself, and then you have to create a boundary within that, and you have to stick to that boundary, and you have to know that, you know, this is my life and this is what I want for myself and this is what's important to me, and then you work everything around it. It's that establishment within your life of what is most important. And I promise, once you start thinking this way and you start associating the akhirah as something that you have to work towards all the time, dunya just becomes something that you just end up just doing, and alhamdulillah, but akhirah will become something that you see as, you know, it's such a beautiful thing to experience all the time. And I want to say, the only way for you to continuously be in this reminder of akhirah is to be in the company of people that are like-minded. And so you if you affiliate yourself, even if it's once a week, to a madrasa or to people that are also trying to study, it will help you to gain that consciousness all the time. So now the conversations start to change from dunya, which we all have all the time, but it starts becoming more fixated and focused on akhirah. So it becomes easier now. So your company is also important in this prioritization that I'm discussing. Who you're spending your time with will also assist you in working towards that priority for the akhirah, inshallah. Because now like-minded people are having similar conversations, inshallah.
Absolutely. You brought up such relevant point. So grateful for that, and glad that we got to speak to you on today's program. Inshallah, we hope to chat to you in future as well. And listeners, remember, you can contact Zakia K on the social media. Instagram, she's on Paisley. It's PAIZLEY. You can also go to the website paizley.co.za, and you can make contact with Zakia, follow her page, learn more about her work, and have a look at her lovely creative designs, mashallah, tabarakallah. Zakia, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you today and being inspired by your example and how it is possible for us to contribute, to build on our own dreams, goals, and passions, and at the same time to continue preparing for our akhirah. Jazakumullah khair for your time with us today, and we look forward to speaking to you in the future, inshallah.
JazakAllah so much for having us, and I hope that this inspires people out there, inshallah, and Allah makes us a means for that. Ameen. And I thank you guys for having me on, inshallah, and inshallah we'll chat again.
JazakAllah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
on the program today, speaking about investing in Dini education. We heard more from Sister Zakia Abarai, a student of Deen and the owner of paisley.co.za, more about how important it is to invest in our Deen and to do so daily, regularly. She also shared with us more about how investing in Dini education contributes to personal growth and well-being, and why it is important for our Muslim businesses to continue supporting financially as well our future scholars of the Deen. Wonderful discussion, and the program will be up on podcast, so you can play back and share the link with others as well. If there were any details we shared on the program that you were not able to get hold of, please contact our front desk and get in touch with the ladies department, and our producer will give you those details. Until we meet again in the next program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.